are one of my favorite.
Emily Gorospe cannot sit still.
This is called a transformation. We do it in hip-hop.
The spunky 8-year-old with long brown braids loves to make up dances in her bedroom.
We have to be straight with our hands, and we cannot lose our balance with our hands.
But last spring, when she was just 6, Emily became very tired and sick. She developed a fever that wouldn't go away, and red blotches appeared across her body.
She's got so much energy usually, and she just walking from one part of the house, like from her room to the living room or to the kitchen, she was drained.
That's Emily's mother, Valerie Gorospe. She knew something was wrong with her daughter when she became extremely fatigued.
It wasn't like a sleepy tired. It was like my body can't handle simple things like walking. She even lost color. Like she just looked pale to us. She just didn't look like our Emily, not just her actions, but just she just didn't look like herself.
Emily was eventually diagnosed with Valley fever, becoming one of an estimated 150,000 people nationwide stricken with the disease every year. Valley fever is a fact of life in parts of California and Arizona. It starts with the simple act of breathing. Tiny fungal spores that live in the dirt enter the lungs. Everyone knows somebody who has had Valley fever, and most have survived. But in recent years, Valley fever numbers have soared so high that health experts are calling it an epidemic. Yet even as cases of Valley fever have increased, attention from policymakers and research dollars have not. In fact, just this summer, the small pool of funding for a potential vaccine dried up, leaving little hope of conquering the disease. Dr. George Rutherford is a Valley fever researcher at the University of California, San Francisco. He offered this explanation for why Valley fever research has long gone overlooked and underfunded.
Diseases that receive a lot of national interest tend to be diseases that occur in the East, where they read about them in the Washington Post every day, or CDC sees them in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution every day, or they make the New York Times. Diseases that don't exist in that belt really kind of fall off the radar screen. And unfortunately, Valley fever is one of those diseases.
But take a look at the numbers, and it appears that Valley fever should prompt a more aggressive public health response. For nearly 2 decades, statistics from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show Valley fever doing more and more harm every year. Between 2000 and 2009, the rate of Valley fever more than quadrupled to 13 cases for every 100,000 people. That means that people in states that report the disease to the CDC had a higher likelihood of catching Valley fever than AIDS, hepatitis, or chickenpox. Dr. Michael McLean works in Ground Zero for this disease. He's the health officer in rural Kings County in California's Central Valley. He has watched as cases of Valley fever have climbed in counties throughout the state. He doesn't know if the increase is due to better reporting of cases, improved diagnosis of the disease, or environmental factors. But the important thing is that in the areas where the disease is prevalent,
it'll always be here, we'll always have cases, and we should expect an ongoing burden of disease.
Here are the basics. People who work outside, like farm workers and construction workers, are most likely to get it. The disease hits Blacks and Filipinos harder than the rest of the population, and people with compromised immune systems and older people are more likely to suffer complications. Most people feel nothing or experience symptoms similar to the flu or pneumonia. In a small percent of cases, the fungus spreads beyond the lungs. This is called disseminated Valley fever, and the effects can be devastating. Doctors compare the illness to tuberculosis because of its ability to damage so many distinct areas of the body. The fungus can enter the bones, skin, and other organs, leading to brain swelling, lung failure, and eventually death.
My daughter was named Jacqueline Faith Hernandez. She was 14 and a half when she got sick real bad. We didn't know what was wrong with her.
That's Pascual Hernandez. His daughter, Jacqueline Faith Hernandez, came down with fever and chills and became very weak. The fungus had spread through her bloodstream, lungs, spine, and brain. She died in 2008.
It hurts to where you weren't able to see her walk across stage to give her away to somebody in marriage. And because this disease is so crazy and outrageously ugly to where it tears people up.
Treatments usually include several rounds of antifungal medications and, at times, surgeries to remove infected bone or skin. If it is caught early, physicians have a better chance of keeping the disease at bay. But doctors don't often catch it early. Researchers say that most cases are misdiagnosed or missed entirely, in part because of a lack of training and attention in the medical community, and in part because the symptoms are so varied.
I think there are more cases out there than people realize. If you left someplace on the coast in Southern California and you drove up to Eureka and you stopped to fill with gas and whatever in Kings County, you may get contracted there. But if you go up to Eureka and you have a community-acquired pneumonia, chances are they aren't going to diagnose you with valley fever.
But many questions about the disease remain. No one knows how many spores need to be breathed in to contract the disease. And no one knows why some people die and others never know they are walking around with spores in their lungs. With more research funding, some of those could be answered, said Dr. McLean.
I think everybody who is involved in either in trying to prevent valley fever or treat it better or cure it or whatever issue you have around it, everybody, and I think can rightly say, we don't have the evidence that we would like to have, and the reason we don't is that there's no funding for it. If we can't raise awareness about it and raise the awareness of the significance of this illness, nothing will change.
But the National Institutes of Health has neglected research funding on valley fever for decades. Since 2000, NIH has directed nearly $600 million toward more than 1,200 projects involving West Nile virus. Valley fever projects have received about 4% of that amount, just $25 million over the past 12 years. The impact on human health is nearly the reverse. Valley fever has stricken about four times more people than West Nile virus, with thousands more going undiagnosed. It has killed many more people, too. Dr. Rutherford.
We worry a lot about diseases that are spreading into the U.S., for instance, dengue fever or Chagas disease in southern Texas. I think just because a disease occurs regionally rather than in all 50 states doesn't mean it's any less a target for disease control efforts.
More than a year after she was diagnosed with valley fever, little Emily is feeling better.
I need to let my energy out.
But the disease has left a spot on her lung and changed the course of her young life.
You know what? I think we have to go inside. There's a little bit of breeze.
No.
Yeah, which way is it blowing?
That's what I hate about breeze.
But if it's blowing this way from where the fields are, then we need to be inside because we're going to get the dust from the grape fields over there. Em, come inside. Come on.
At a town hall meeting on valley fever held this fall in Bakersfield, Emily told State Senator Michael Rubio about her frustrations with valley fever.
I don't understand why valley fever picked me. For a long time in the beginning, I was mad at valley fever for picking me.
She wore a ruffly pink dress and matching headband and clutched a handwritten speech.
The x-rays every month show me the spot is smaller. I want it to disappear so I can do things I used to do and love to do.
But while Emily's health is improving, people across California's Central Valley in the southwestern United States continue to suffer from valley fever. And that won't change until there's more awareness of the disease and more research dollars. For Valley Public Radio and the Reporting on Health Collaborative, I'm Rebecca Plevin.
The valley fever was a common fate to the farm workers here in the Golden State. And I miss Oklahoma, but I'll stay if I must and help make a living in the Tulare dust. The Tulare dust in a farm boy.